We're up to Parshat Nitzavim. This year we have Nitzavim and Vayelech together. We sometimes join Parshiot, specific Parshiot, in order to accomplish finishing the Torah reading in time for Simchat Torah. This year we won't have a Shabbos in between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. You have one Shabbos, and then Yom Kippur is on Shabbos. And then Sukkot, and the Shabbos after Sukkot is Shabbos Chol HaMoed, where you don't read a regular Torah reading. So basically, we have one more regular Torah reading Shabbos after this week because of the way the holidays fall out. So that's why we will read Nitzavim and Vayelech together, so that we have one more parsha left to reach the end of the Torah, to reach the final parsha of the Torah. Okay, we're continuing. We're up to Parshat Nitzavim. We discussed that this year Nitzavim and Vayelech go together because of the way Yom Tov falls out. We'll only have one more regular Torah reading between this Shabbos and Simchat Torah, where we conclude the Torah. So we conclude Nitzavim and Vayelech together. Remember last week we discussed that we set up the calendar so that Ki Tavo will always be read 1 week before the final Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah. So now we're up to Nitzavim and Vayelech. Nitzavim and Vayelech are two very short parshas, even though they're two, it's very, very short. Nitzavim focuses on the final speech that Moshe gives the Jewish people after the rebuke. He tells them, we've made it this far. Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem. You're all here. You made it. So don't let the threat of the covenant scare you, because you've all made it, and now God's going to make a pact with you where you have to keep the Torah, and God's going to stick with you. One of the concepts we see in our parasha is that Hashem says He's not taking another chosen nation. He says you're His nation, and that's why you have to live up to your end of the deal, because He's not going to forgo you for another nation. Our sages say that was the mistake of Hosea. In the 12 short prophets, the first book is Hosea. Hosea was a prophet who told the Creator, he said to Him, if the people are sinning so much, enough, give up on them, take another nation. And Hashem said, go, there's a woman of ill repute named Gomer Bat Divlayim, go marry her, and you will beg her to be faithful to you and have children with her. And then you'll see that you won't even know if they're your kids or someone else's kids, and you'll have kids with her. And then he does. And then God says, now go divorce her. You don't want to divorce her, right? You told her to be faithful and she wasn't. And even though she misbehaved so much, you don't want to divorce her. How are you telling me to divorce my chosen people, the Jewish people? So there are two opinions about whether Hosea actually married this woman and had kids, or this was all a prophetic vision, just as the book of Jonah, there's that discussion, was it all prophetic vision, or did Jonah actually get swallowed by a whale? But at any rate, that's one of the ideas we see in our parasha, that Hashem says, that's it. We're together forever now. And that's why you better keep up with your end of the deal, because I'm not taking on another nation. So Moshe begins the speech by saying, you're all here today. Our sages say Moshe was telling them, Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem. The reason you're all standing is because there's all of you united. You take a pack of twigs, no one can break them. You take a twig each at a time, so then even the smallest child can break them. And that's what Moshe was telling them. Atem Nitzavim, why are you standing? Because it's Kulchem. Because you're all united. You want to know how you'll last into the future? So it's only if you're all united. Just one second. The second idea our sages tell us on this pasuk is a concept that we have to keep reminding ourselves. Atem nitzavim hayom kulchem. Moshe says to the Jewish people, you're here because you keep getting back up. Sheva yipol tzadik vakam. A righteous person is one who keeps getting back on his feet. There doesn't exist a person who doesn't fall. But the wicked are described as hafoch resha'im ve'inam. The wicked get turned over, they fall on their faces, and they're obliterated. They can't get back up again. The tzaddik, sheva yipol tzaddik vekam. The tzaddik falls again and again and keeps getting back up. And if you look at Jewish history, everyone had that. Moshe Rabbeinu. How many times did he fall? How many times he had to start again? He comes out to Egypt. They put him in prison. He's here. He tries saving a Jew's life. What does he get for it? They throw him in prison. They put him on death row. He leaves Egypt. He goes out to Midian. There's a fight. The shepherds want to take the girls and violate them. He stands up and saves the girls. And their father throws them in prison. Their own father throws them in jail. Time and again, Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem appears and says, I want to talk to you. And Moshe hides his face and he gets punished for that. I want to talk to you and you hide your face. Hashem tells Moshe, go take the Jewish people out of Egypt. And Moshe refuses for 7 days and he gets punished for that. Hey, time and again, he's not perfect. No one's perfect. David HaMelech, throughout Jewish history, we are reminded of the mistakes that leaders have made, and that they fell, and they got back up again. Sheva yipol tzadik vekam. The tzadik falls 7 times, and the number 7 in Tanakh represents many, and he keeps getting back up. And that's what Moshe tells them. Atem nitzavim ayom kulchem. You're all standing because you kept on getting back up. It's not that we haven't fallen. 10 times the Jewish people made grave errors in the desert. And yet they kept getting back up. And that's the message he's telling them. Yes, we just described in last week's parasha the harsh punishments that can come if you sin. But you can overcome it. The way to overcome it, keep learning Torah. Keep getting back up and keep adhering to the Torah. Atem nitzavim ayom kulchem. So you're all standing here, everyone, including your children, your wives, the woodcutters and the water drawers. Here we understand that there were nations who wanted to join the Jewish people. They tried to deceive us into accepting them as converts. And Moshe wasn't taken. He said, you want to join? You can join and take the task of cutting wood and drawing water. And Moshe tells them, now you're going to have a covenant with Hashem. Now the covenant includes mutual responsibility, what we call arvut. There's a mutual responsibility. If I made kiddush Friday night, and then you come to my house, how can I make kiddush for you again? So we say there's mutual responsibility. If I blew shofar on Rosh Hashanah, and now you come and say, my mother's in an old age home, she needs someone to blow shofar. Can you blow shofar for her? I can go there and blow shofar. My father needs someone. Can you make a blessing for him and blow shofar for him? I can go make a blessing, blow shofar for him. Why? Because we say, my responsibility is not only for my performance of mitzvos, but until every Jew on the planet finished this mitzvah, I haven't finished my mitzvah. There's this mutual responsibility we have. And so that's why I can do a mitzvah on behalf of someone else. Even though technically I did my mitzvah. I blew my shofar. It doesn't matter. I can do it to help someone else fulfill their obligation. That's what's called Kol Yisrael Arevim Ze Bazeh. It's as though we've all co-signed on one another's loan. We all went into this pact. We said we're responsible. We're taking the responsibility to keep the mitzvot. And we're co-signing for one another. Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, we're making this pact with those who are here and those who are not present. From here our sages say that the souls of all future Jews were there to join in the pact. That's the idea that even converts had their souls present at Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu says, what's my concern? My concern is that as we were traveling, you saw all the different feces all around and maybe you were attracted to them. What's he talking about, feces? Our sages say he's talking about idols, but he doesn't want to use terms of respect for idols. So he says, you saw their vermin, you saw their feces. He doesn't want to say a nice thing about their pagan idol worship. So that's why he uses that term. That's why you see very often people will use nicknames. And they won't say the name of an idol worship. It starts in the Torah. The Torah doesn't refer to it by name. What do we call an idol? We call it elil, something lacking value. Elil comes from the word al, non-existent. We call an idol atzabehim, their source of sorrow. Atzabehim, from atzvut. We say they have hopes and they don't realize their hopes because they're putting their trust in this pagan idol worship. So Moshe says, we've been traveling. And maybe someone over here, or even a whole tribe, is thinking deep down inside, everything's going to be fine by me. I'll be a part of the greater mass, and I'll have the benefits of being a part of the people of Israel, but in my own private home, I'll have my own pagan worship. I'll do things the way I'm used to at home. And Hashem says, no, I will single out the person. I will take him to task. And people will look and see what happened here. Why is there such destruction? And the answer is, because the people thought they could get away with doing things in the privacy of their own home that are in transgression of the Torah. The Pasuk describes that when there'll be a destruction, Hashem will give out His wrath and banish the people to another land just like this day. Our sages learned that this Pasuk Chafzayin, is a reference to what happened to the lost 10 tribes. God was upset at them and banished them to another land with His anger. He banished them like this day. And there's a Machlokas Tanaim. Rabbi Akiva says, just as the sun sets on the day, and the day is never returning. You can never go back to yesterday. You can fix tomorrow, but you can never fix yesterday. By the same token, the 10 tribes are lost and they're never coming back. Finished. Even when Mashiach comes, they're gone. So we have representation from each of the 10 tribes. Am Yisrael has. But the majority, those millions who were banished with the destruction of the Northern Empire, when the Assyrian Empire swooped down on the Northern Empire, Rabbi Akiva says they're gone. They're never coming back. His own Rebbe, Rabbi Eliezer, says no. Just like the day wanes and waxes, you have a sunrise, sunset. So too, they've had their sunset, they'll have their sunrise. They're still coming back. Machloks, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, other commentaries as well, other Tanaim. So this is a machloks based on this pasuk. What is the pasuk telling me? God will pour out His wrath just like the day. Just like the day passes and doesn't return, or just like the day passes and a new day rises tomorrow. Two opinions in the Gemara, in the Midrash. So Hashem says, when these things happen, so then you have to think about it. You have to do tshuva. So that's our source here. We have to do tshuva. A person has to stop and think. Why? And a person has to return to Hashem. We have to know that at the root of tshuva is the question of where is Hashem in my life? How much do I think of Him? One of the things that we have to get accustomed to when we get married is that we don't make decisions without our spouse. Someone asks you, do you want to make this investment? Do you want to come over for Shabbos? Can I come over to you for Shabbos? Suddenly you can't call the shots alone. You say, wait a second, let me ask my wife. So initially, it's unnatural. After a decade or a decade and a half, suddenly you're used to it, of course. That's how you make decisions. Whenever I come to Chassan and he's sitting down during the dancing next to his kala, I give him a drink and I whisper, give it to your wife. You know, you're supposed to be caring for her first. By the same token, there's a question of, is Hashem a part of our life? Whenever we do tshuva, one of the major components of tshuva is the question, was I thinking? What does Hashem think about this? Very often I ask myself, if I could ask the Ribbono Shel Olam, what should I do now? What would He tell me? Because I know what I want to do now. I know what my desire is, but what would the Ribbono Shel Olam tell me now? And if we can force ourselves and get used to that modus operandi, to think, what would the Ribbono Shel Olam say? That's the basic point of tshuva, and tshuva in every sin involves that, in every transgression. Tshuva always involves that question. What was I thinking? Was I thinking, what does God want me to do here, or was I ignoring it? It says, "Ein adam chote elaim ken nichnas bo ruach shtut." Person doesn't do a transgression unless a certain foolishness envelops him. You'd ask him, do you believe in God? Yeah. Do you believe He's watching? Yeah. Do you believe He wants you to do this? No. So why are you doing it? So we don't have a real answer. Our actions contradict our philosophies. So that's what it says. So yeah. So part of tshuva is to come back and say, Hashem's here. He's a part of my life. And I care what He has to say. And Hashem says, He will bring us back. We will come back to the land of Israel. It doesn't matter if we're at the edge of heaven. Hashem says, I'll bring you back. And we will again take the land of Israel. Hashem will circumcise our hearts and the hearts of our kids. One of the dangers, one of the challenges of tshuva is that when a person does tshuva, the kids are very apt to go the other way. You made a radical change. This way, I'm going back the other way. There's a huge challenge, especially when kids see the grandparents. And anyways, you're not doing what your parents did. Why should I do what you did? You chartered out your path in life. I'm going to chart my path in life. Comes the Torah and promises that there will come a time where Hashem will help us not only to do tshuva ourselves, but also to help our children continue on that path. That's the common Dvar Torah. They say the four sons are four generations. Chacham, Rasha, Tam, Sheino Yodan Lishon, right? You have the wise son, he's fully observant, everything's very nice, and the son rebels, he's the Rasha, he goes the opposite direction. The next generation doesn't know anything, they don't even know, but at least they see the grandfather, so they know they're Tam, they're simple, they see this, they see that, they're not too sure what to go. And then the fourth generation, they don't see the grandfather anymore, they don't even know what to ask. They just see their grandfather, that's the Rasha, they see their father, who's the Tam, and there you know your daily show. They don't even know what to ask. And then you come back. The next generation does tshuva. Comes Hashem and promises, there'll come a time, Umal Hashem lokecha et levavcha ve et levav zarecha. I'll help you do two generations. You should know the big challenge as a ger or as a chozer b'tshuva, the big challenge is to build a home where the kids can stay on the path. That's like that's really hard. Hashem says, then you'll see how all these curses will fall on your enemies, not on you. Hashem tells us, you should know these mitzvahs are not far away. They're not in the heavens. That's the source why we don't accept the New Testament, aside from millions of other reasons. But the Torah says, I have no more Torah in heaven to give you. Lo v'shamayim. Our tradition is that when the Jews had questions, they went to Joshua. And they said, ask God. And Joshua said, Lo vashamayimi, our parsha says, God says, no more asking heaven. That's it. Heaven has nothing else to say. The Torah is in your hands to understand based on the tradition. It says in the days of Samuel, in the days of Shmuel the prophet, there were questions they couldn't answer. They said, Shmuel, you're such a prophet, ask God. Shmuel said the same thing. It says in the days of the Mishnah, there was an argument. One of the rabbis said, I'll prove it by miracles. The stream will start flowing backwards. The tree will uproot itself and move 100 steps backwards. The walls will start caving in. A heavenly voice will come out and say, I'm right. And all of it came true. And the rabbis did not give in. They said, Lo v'shamayimi. The verse says, God's not interfering anymore. We have a system. We're supposed to work with that system. But the miracles prove He's right. A voice comes out of heaven and says, I agree with Rabbi Eliezer. Says Rabbi Yoshua, says Rabban Gamliel, we're very sorry, God. You told us not to work with heaven. So, you know. And in heaven, Hashem says, they're right. Our tradition is that they were right. Lo v'shamayimi, this verse is critical to our tradition. The sages say, Lo me'ever layami, the verse says, don't expect you have to cross a sea in order to obtain Torah. It's telling us you can't expect you're going to spend life making millions and becoming a great Torah sage. If you're traveling the seas to make millions, if you're so busy on making millions, you cannot be big in Torah. Torah involves forgoing all that, focusing on Torah and making ends meet, living a modest lifestyle. Lo me'ever layami, you can't expect people who cross the seas in business, making millions, to be big in Torah. You can't have the two together. But what you have to know, and with this we'll end for tonight, ki karov elecha davar me'od. Torah is very close to your heart. It's not so far away. If you think Torah is strange, it's because you haven't yet uncovered enough to understand Torah, to understand why it's natural, and it'll fit with your heart. Beficho v'ilvavcha nasoto. The way of Torah is something that will become natural, and when you look at it, you'll see that it resonates with you. It works. It's something that karov elecha. The Torah doesn't tell us, go hunt a wild boar. Go bring me the palm of a bear. Go bring me the paw of a bear, the palm of a lion. No, the Torah says, I'm going to tell you how to lead life in a way that will work for you. A balanced life, a life that's good for you in this world. Ki karov elecha davar me'od. The path of the Torah is very near to you. It's not far out. On the contrary, you will see that it is the most natural and best way of life in this world. And here we're up to the pasuk we'll pick up on Thursday night. The pasuk we began with tonight, where Moshe says, I've given you a choice of life or death, good or evil. Choose life. So we spent 45 minutes on this pasuk with Netivot Shalom. We'll revisit it, God willing, on Thursday night.